This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWhip. There has been no keener observer, nor harsher critic of the Eclipse Aviation saga than the Teal Group's Richard Abulafia. Abulafia says he can find no major faults with the latest plan to resurrect the company, but he also says it's a long shot at best.
So what's different this time around, Richard?
This time around, the Eclipse seems to have been hit by an attack of common sense. Basically, the original plan calling for completely absurd production numbers and completely stupid prices has been overtaken by one with very reasonable production objectives, 100 planes, at a very reasonable price of $2.4 million. The problem is that completely redoing everything about a jet and its supply chain, most importantly, and its distribution and sales model and everything, according to these totally new business plans, that's almost impossible given the amount of capital that will likely be made available. It's very difficult to imagine people being that indulgent for a third time.
Well, but Eclipse has had a rather unusual history in attracting money. There just seem to be an awful lot of people who want to see this thing quite literally fly. How do you explain that?
I don't know. I think there's something about Eclipse that really tapped into the essence of, utopianism, you know, the concept of perceived on-demand air travel that really does sound almost democratic, you know, everyone should have their own backyard hovercraft or something like that. It sounded truly revolutionary. If you didn't scratch beneath the surface and you were simply an enthusiast, there was so much about it that was neat. And anyone can have their own jet. And if we just build enough of them, we can build it so cheaply that anyone can have their own jet and anyone can fly one on demand. It was bound to go horribly wrong. And I would imagine that this time, given the billions of dollars that have been destroyed, they're going to have a really hard time going back to the well. Because even the most utopian of thinker, even the biggest aviation dreamer, eventually gets the message. And the problem, of course, is that these days, just capital of any sort is very hard to find.
Why would they have a hard time floating the new plan, given the current circumstances, of course, but don't you think that there are people ready to save Eclipse?
I think there are people out there that are ready to save Eclipse, given the reasonable new numbers. The problem is that it's not just a couple of people you have to have on board. It's everybody. You have to go back to all the people who've taken the really unpleasant write-offs. Remember that, you know, 95% of the plane is built by other people. You have to get all of them to say, we know we hit you. We know we hit you really hard. We're sorry about that. Could you give us your best and final offer for something that's completely, utterly, totally different? And by the way, we have to have these design and engineering changes too, because the previous aircraft wasn't quite up to spec. To get everybody, the full 95% on board, and this is assuming you find the upfront funding at the top end too, that almost beggars belief that you're going to get everybody in on this.
I'll put you in the hot seat. How would you go about it?
I'm not so sure I'd do things any different. I mean, that's the thing. I look at the people who are trying this. I don't know them personally, but I'm not repulsed by what they're saying, the way I have been by everything about this god-awful program in the past. It seems they're taking a very sensible approach. They're effectively, they're going fishing and they're using real bait. They were using a kind of highly lethal, toxic, radioactive bait. These people are genuinely, honestly fishing with worms. And part of me wishes them luck. It's just that it's going to be very difficult to attract complete participation at all levels of the supply chain and at the investment level, too.
Okay, well, as an aircraft, does the Eclipse 500 have a place in the aviation world?
You know, it's kind of an interesting niche. That's the irony here. It's obviously not the $800,000 jet it was 10 years ago, but a jet at a $2.4 million price point that would be likable to fly, which apparently some people do like it, it might just have that, might just have an attraction. The problem, of course, is that for just a little bit more money, basically, you know, just say $500,000 more, you can get something that it, you know, might be a bit more costly to operate, but you know that Cessna and Embraer are going to be there to support the product forever. They're going to be selling the product forever. That to me is kind of a no-brainer, especially since in a couple of years, thanks to the, well, actually very quickly, this downturn is going to produce a fair number of used planes on the market in that price class. So I have a feeling that finding people who like the jet that much to step up to the plate and put $2.4 million, especially since a lot of those people got burned the first time putting down payments on the Eclipse 1.0, and that's going to be a tough sell also. So it's kind of a tough sell on the supply side and on the demand side.
What about the future of the 260 that are flying? What's going to happen to them?
I'm told that the DeLorean owners get together every so often and compare notes. It's rather tragic because, of course, you need a full support organization, especially when the aircraft are basically immature planes that were delivered prematurely. I don't know how they're going to keep these things flying. I fear for the worst because it would be good to have at least something salvageable from this awful experience. But right now I'm not terribly encouraged.
Okay, well, you and I will both be following it with interest, and we thank you for your time today, and we'll be back at you maybe in a few months to see how it all is working out.
I hope so, Russ. Thanks very much for asking.
This has been Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.